Beistaf is Daf Pei Zayin, but we are a little bit behind. We're looking at a Mishnah, a Helika Mishnah, Daf Pei Vavamid Beis. Shnayim Sheshalchu Shnei Gitim Shavim, Minitarvut. So two people send a get, and both of these people have the same name. The wives have the same name, but each get was written clearly for the person who was being Megarish, that wife. Only a slight problem. They got mixed up. Now we have no way of knowing which get is which. Now, obviously, it's all very nice that it has the right information on each get, but that doesn't help very much when it comes to Lishma, because the get has to be given over, specifically Lishma, to that Isha. So how are we going to give over a get to a woman we don't know if it's her get? What we can do is very simply, we give both gittin to both women. So what we do is notnein shneihem lezo, v'shneihem lezo. That way we know, look, no matter how you cut this, each one of them got her get. We don't know which one is which, but so what? We know that they were each megureshet, and the Beit Din can write them a little notice that, we hereby certify that you're megureshet, and everything is fine. Lefichach, but since the whole issue here is because they're both being given the get, if one of them gets lost, then we're in big trouble. So neither of them would then be usable because we have no way of identifying who got the get. And therefore, for all intents and purposes, nobody got the get. How about in a case where chamisha shekatvu klal betok haget, five people wrote a get all together so that all of their wives should be megurashot. This is the wholesale get process, sort of like the Chabad bar mitzvahs. So they all got together and they wrote in this get. Now, what exactly klal means? The Gemara is going to have a machlok at what makes it all one get. But if they wrote it as a klal, then that would mean that the signatures that are affixed to it are affixed to the entire klal. So they have now ploni megarish plonit, ploni plonit, and so on, and the edim are lamata. So then kulam ksherim, because the edim signed on the klal. V'yinatein l'kol achat v'yachat. Obviously, there needs to be a separate nitina for each one. But on the other hand, if the tofes of the get was written separately for each one, now again, tofes in this case simply means the opposite of klal. So what the opposite of klal? In other words, klal is it's all one. Tofes is that there is a separate get. What that means, that we'll see in the Gemara, what defines the level of klal and what defines the level of tofes. So in the case we have a tofes of kol achat v'yachat, then the signatures are fixed on the bottom, then only at Sheidim Nikrinim Okasher. Then obviously, since we don't know that the signatures were affixed also to the one before the lowest one, so how can we be sure? Since there was clearly a separation. Again, whatever that separation is, that we'll see as a machloket in the Gemara. So Mantana, who would hold that you can give both gittim to both women, and then they would both have gotten their get, despite the fact that we have no idea which get was the one that was megarish this woman. Well, says Rabbi Yarmah, it certainly can't be going on leave of the Rabbi Elazar. I mean, Rabbi Elazar, after all, holds that Ede Mesira Karte, right? I mean, according to him, Ede Mesira Karte, so that means when it says Vikatav Vinatan, so it's referring to the act, not the Chatimata Edim, it's referring to the Ktivata get, and undoubtedly the Nitinata get. So over here, it means that there was no Nitinalishma, because we don't know anything about it. We don't know which one did which. So it must be that indeed this is going Shaloka Rabbi Elazar. It's going like Rabbi Meir. Halo yada be'aminayo komegarsha. Because according to Rabbi Elazar, where is the Ede Mesira? Can they point to a Lishma in a get? Says Abai, where did you get the idea that the Mesira has to be Lishma? I understand. Even if you hold Vekatav v'natan, it's Vekatav la, not v'natan la. So Vikatavla is the only thing. According to Rabbi Lazar, the Vikatavla is the get. According to Rabbi Meir, the Vikatavla is the Chatiman. Good. But what makes you think that the Mesira al-Kalibah to Rabbi Lazar is the equivalent of the Chatiman al-Kalibah to Rabbi Meir? That doesn't follow necessarily. So therefore, Afilu Tema Rabbi Elazar, Ema Deboi Rabbi Lazar Ktiva Lishma, Netina Lishma Biboi. Where did we ever see that according to him, we view the Mesira as the equivalent of the Chatiman? Lo Hayudvari Me'olam. And therefore, it works out perfectly well, both according to Rabbi Elazar and according to Rabbi Meir. Now, Chamisha Shekatavo Klal, the next case that we have distinguishes between a get where the signature is read on all the above, which is Klal, and a get where the signature is read on only that which is in proximity to the signature, which is Tofes. But what exactly defines Klal and Tofes isn't clear. So, Hechidami Klal, Hechidami Tofes. How do we define that? Omar Rabbi Yochanan, look, it's very simple. Zman echad v'kulan zeu klal. If you wrote one date on top, so then this is obviously all one contract. There's no other date. So when the signatures are signing, they relate back to the top shura. It's got that date, and they're signed on it, so that's a klal. On the other hand, if you would write the date of each divorce, so you would write, let's say, on Echad Be'alol, Reuven was Megaresh Sora. On Sheni Be'alol, Yaakov was Megaresh Rachel, and so on and so forth. So then each one is different. And if that's the case, so then that would be a Tofes. And then whatever one is at the bottom is the only one that we can assume that the Edom were signed on. And there, everything adds up. Yeah. Two. Why would we need more than two Edom? That's the point. Is this one document or is it not? If it's one document, then two Edom are signed on all of the above information. Reish Lakish says, no, I feel it's Zman Echad Kulam, Nami Abi Tofes. The thing that defines Klal is not the Zman. That would still be called a Tofes, and each one would be separate. The only way to get a Klal is to actually write it in the plural. Then it's a Klal. So if you wrote, we, the following men, Ploni, Gerashnu Nishotenu, we were Megarish, our respective wives, Ploni to Ploni. So then that's a klal, but otherwise you can't join up, obviously, separate documents by putting a date on top of the document. Maskefa, Rav Abba, or Rav Yochanan. Rav Abba asked, according to Rav Yochanan, the Yomar Zman Echad V'Kulam, that's called a klal. Why is Zman Echad V'Kulam called a klal? Lechush Dilma Kichat Musahari Abatar Hu Dechatimi. Why don't we still have to worry that the signature is not referring to an entire document? Because, look, even if you have a get that has a date on top, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, the date on top is obviously that to which the witnesses are referring. And at the bottom of the get, after writing that I did this Kedat Moshe Yisrael, you also write, and I send regards to my ex. And they signed on that, Drishat Shalom. Or to anybody, right? So over there, Milo Tanya, Edim Chatumim HaShi'ilat Shalom Beget Pasu. Chayshin and Shem HaShi'ilat Shalom Chatumim. They may be signing on the fact that I send regards to my ex. We witnessed that he really did. Okay. What does that have to do with the get? So, I mean, you see that obviously you have not set up a framework for a get just by putting on the date on top, because otherwise we should say, what do you mean? I mean, the date was on top. It says clearly they meant the whole thing. According to Rabbi Yochanan, a date alone is sufficient to create a klal. That's a heck of a question. Says the Gemara, well, it is a heck of a question because you don't have enough information. We had this discussion already, and you know what Rabbi Avu explained directly from Rabbi Yochanan. L'didim afashili minei Rabbi Yochanan. Yes, if you wrote, send regards to my ex, then ein alchinami, do we have to worry that the signature is only on the bottom? But if you wrote, and send regards to my ex, so then it's all one document. So sha'alu pasul, but vishalu kasher. So hachinami. So,
they might have only written Shelat Shalom. No. And then afterwards, he writes a whole other piece and puts in the book. Who says they signed to the book?
Well, that's true. Every single get. Somebody signed a check, and the guy wrote the get on top of the check and then cut off the top. I don't understand what kind of question that is. We never have questions about that. We'll see why we don't. But, I mean, we accept the signature as it is. We're not conscious that somebody was afterwards faked it out that we, in a way that we can't tell. I mean, obviously, we need to. We need to write the shtar in a way that it isn't given to phoniness, but that's a whole different issue. So, hachinami dichtive ploni uploni uploni. Each one of these gitim had a vav attached to it, and therefore the single date on top is a limit of yochanan sufficient to create a single document. Well, wait a minute. Hold on a second. If the problem is over here the date, so then why would Rav Yochanan say if each one is dated separately? Then it becomes a tofes, and it's not kosher. Who the heck cares if it's being a tofes? That isn't a problem. Even if it wouldn't be a tofes, it wouldn't be kosher. Because if you're saying on the first of Elul, so-and-so was Megarish his wife, on the second of Elul, so-and-so was Megarish his wife, and the third of Elul, another so-and-so was Megarish his wife, so then that means that all of the dates prior to the latest are a get mukdam. You have the get that is written on the wrong date. If you write a get that is written, signed on a different day than the date that appears in it, it's not kosher. So over here, assuming that these are different dates, obviously, that's what we're assuming, that if we put in a different date for each one, then it's a different date. Otherwise, why bother? Says the Gemara, no, of course, that's true. It's talking about that each one is dated today. They're all dated today. So that obviously the impact of the date was not for its new information, but rather to signify that this stands on its own as a reasonable contract and a get on such and such a day, so-and-so divorced his wife on such and such the same day. Well, so what? It's a different guy, a different woman. I'm giving you So then the only problem is that you made it a separate tofes. So the date itself creates the din of tofes. So I was told, says Rav Bar Kashish, Rav Chis, Rav Ashi, I was told in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Achyamin Mishmeh Rabbi Yochanan, Dechtivu, Bechad B'Shabbat, Bechad B'Shabbat, Bechad B'Shabbat, each one of them has exactly the same day, and that is the Tofes. Omer Ravina Rav Ashi, okay. We've been exploring the problems Aliba the Rabbi Yochanan, but I don't understand Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish says that Zman Echad V'Kulam is called a Tofes. So what creates Klal? He said the only way that you could consider this to be a single document is if you wrote it in the plural, that we, the following men, Ploni or Ploni, were Megaresh, the following women, Ploni to Ploni. There's a big problem with that, which is Nimtzu, Shteinashim et Garshot Begetachat, Vatora Amra Vekatav La, La Velo La Velo Chaverta. Even if one guy has two wives and he wants to be Megarish, his wife's hosel, so he writes one get for two wives, it's not a kosher get. Even though it's all done lishma and so on and so forth. But the very fact that someone else is involved is a chisaron in the law. So halakha is kama v'kama. If it's different people, these are all one get. And we don't have over here a clear interrelationship then between Mr. A and Mrs. A, Mr. B and Mrs. B. So how in the world can we now accept a get like that? No, we separated the get. It was after writing, we the following men, did be Megarish the following women, we then make it clear that that was only written as an introduction. In other words, whereas the following men blah, 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 have determined to divorce the following wives, blah, 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 and so-and-so divorces his wife so-and-so. So-and-so divorces his wife so-and-so. So-and-so. So in other words, now we recognize that the only purpose of the introduction was to turn this document into a klal, but now we actually went through a kosher get for each one. So in such a case, it becomes now of a katav la, because hora katav, ploni giresh ploni, uploni giresh ploni. So therefore, we have a single get and separate getting. All we're trying to make certain is that the signature is affixed to the whole thing, and that was clear because of the opening. Omer le Ravina le Ravashi, why does that make it clear? Why is it any different that we need this to make it clear? Ma'ashrami adetanya, ha'kotev kone chasav lishnei avadav. How about a case? A guy has two avadim, which is exactly the same. Remember, we learn out the din of avadim from the din of the get of Anisha. So now, if you're telling me the only way is to have this whole preamble, and then you can go ahead and claim that it's one document. Without the preamble, forget it. Why is that any different than a case where somebody writes a contract? I, so-and-so, am giving all of my property to so-and-so and so-and-so, my avodim, which is considered to be now that he's giving them their freedom because their property includes themselves. The only confusion over here is that he's giving it to both of them. So therefore, each one of them has to be Meshachar, the other one, for the chelek that he owns of the other one. So they exchange the ownership of themselves. Right? So now, here too, we should be able to do the same thing without the preamble. Answers the Gemara, what, you don't remember? Lavukimna b'shnei shtarot? We worked out the whole sugi over there. That's really true. We couldn't have done it that way. It only works where a man writes out two separate shtarot, to two separate avadim, and then delivers them at the same time to both of them with the same edim. So now we have one mesira, it's chal b'vas achas, and therefore each one has a separate get shichra, so to speak, and now they're meshachra, each other. But ein hachinami, we cannot use a single contract. Where's Saba Josh's shtender, please?
It's there,
sorry. Oh, I was hidden from my book. So then, it wouldn't have been good. It works out very well. T Tanya Kavasit, Rabbi Yochanan, Tanya Kavasit, Rish Lakish. The truth is we have brightot that support both approaches to the distinguishing characteristics of Klal and Tofes. Tanya Kavasit, Rish Lakish. Tanya Kavasit, Rabbi Yochanan. Chamisha shekatvu betocha gate. Ish ploni megarish ploni to ploni ploni to ploni plonit. Vizman echad lekulam. Without any preamble, as long as there's one date on the entire document, with the Eidim milamata, kulam kisherim, all of them have here a kosher get. V'tinatein lekol achat v'achat, you give over the get to each one of them, obviously, and then Beis Din gives each one of them a document that they were divorced, that the original get could be korea like we do any get. But zman lekol achat v'achat v'eidim milamata, so then only etche edim nikreinim o kasher, only the one that is proximate to the signature is the kosher get. Exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said. What defines separate documents? Separate dates. What creates a single document? A single date on time. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira Omer, Im yesh revach b'nehem pasul, v'im lav kasher. Says Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, no, wait a minute. Even in this case where you've got separate dates, but there is no line between them to indicate that this is a separate document, then the very fact that you don't have a break is indicative of its being a single document. Doesn't even matter if you've got separate dates. V'im lav kasher she'ein zman alone, mafsikan. A date where you bedafka graphically make it all whole is not enough to create a break.
Line breaking means an open line?
Open line. Tanya kavate de Reish Lakish. And now we have a completely different approach in another brighter, which is indeed Reish Lakish's approach. Chamisha shekatvu klal betoch haget. Onu, loshin rabim. The following men, ploni uploni. Girashnu, the following women, ploni to plonit. And then it's followed by the words, of course, as we explained, must be true, alibid reish lakish. Ploni girash ploni to ploni girash plonit, and so on. Zman echad v'kulam, v'ya'edim elamata ksherim, v'tinatein l'kol achat v'yachat. But if zman l'kol achat v'yachat, plus a revach l'kol achat v'yachat, v'ya'edim elamata, et she'edim nikra'inim o kasher. Now, on the surface, this is troublesome. Because according to Reish Lakish, the point is not zman l'kol echad v'achad, right? He said that even if you would have zman echad v'kulam, it would still be a tofes. So why is he now, the Tana over here is not really like Reish Lakish, because he's making it dependent in a zman. Because here it says, if you've got a zman l'kol echad v'achad, a revach l'kol echad v'achad, then only the last one would be kosher. Rabbi Meir Omer, afa pishein revach b'nei empatiyu, even without the revach. It would separate it if you had a zman l'kolecha v'yachad. Now, zman mafsikatan. So now you're telling me this is like Reish Lakish. Well, why is it like Reish Lakish? Meir zman l'kolecha v'yachad. Why, according to Reish Lakish, if the alternative, we understood this here as an alternative to the preamble. So in other words, zman echad l'kulam, it's kosher, but zman l'kolecha v'yachad, it's not kosher. But then we're saying there's two possibilities. You could use either the preamble or the zman. But Alibid Reish Lakish, he said, even if you have zman echad l'kulam, that doesn't create klal. That's still going to be tofes. And here it's saying that it's tofes. It's all one case. In other words, animile echad lo arvinu mi kora. It's where you didn't have the preamble. There Reish Lakish says, so then zman l'yachad b'yam is still tofes. But if you have the preamble, this is how we understood Reish Lakish. If you have the preamble, then that creates one document. What it's adding over here is if you were ma'ariv l'chatchilas, you wrote the Lashon Rabbi in the preamble, and then you go ahead and you separate it with a revach and a zman, or with a zman, that too will ruin it. Fine, that's something else. We didn't address that issue earlier. But the Braita is telling us, is machlokas tanoi, about whether zman alone would be polik, or whether zman with revach is polik. That's a separate thing. But it's all referring to the case where you initially began with the Lashon Rabbim preamble to make it clear that you want the Chatimah to be on the whole document. So, Halcha de Arvino Mi'ikara, only if actually Poliglu Zman would you then be able to separate what was already made whole in. But Ilo, lo. We've been waiting for those words. People all over the world are writing in. Where is Esava Josh? Right. He thinks no, nobody cares.
Kidding,
I'm not kidding.
Believe you. I just met somebody yesterday. Are you the Barnea?
Richie's had that happen sometimes. You're Richie? As a matter of fact, the moment they even heard me say, "Where is Saba Josh?" I already got messages. You're back.
Start again.
Yes, please. Ah, geschmack. Do it one more time. Shnei gitim shekatvam ze bitzad ze. Now here we have a very interesting situation. You have a long piece of paper, landscape. So on this landscape, you have two separate columns. Okay, now each one of the columns is a complete get. Dated on top, the whole thing. Ani ploni ben ploni, yirash netishti ploni ben plonit. They both end on the same line on the two columns. And now what we have is the signatures are running across the entire bottom. So you've got Shnei Gitim Shekatavam Ze Betzad Ze. So now you've got two Ivri signatures, Shnayim Edim Ivrim, Ba'im Mitachat Ze Latachat Ze. So now you have a signature, Ruvein Ben Yaakov Ed, going across the entire right to left. So that Ruvein would be signed, let's say, under the right-hand side get, and Ben Yaakov would be signed under the left-hand side get, Eid. Ben Yaakov, Eid. And then you have the same thing. You have Shimon Ben Elazar, Eid. Shimon, and then Ben Elazar, Eid. Right? That's what we think. Now we're gonna clarify that. But let's say we would stop at that point. Forget about the non-Hebrew writing. L'cha'ora, what we have then is a get on the right-hand side that is signed by Reuven and Shimon, two signatures, one on top of the other, without the word Eid. And then we have two signatures, Ben Yaakov Eid and Ben Elazar Eid, that are signed underneath the left one. Perhaps that would be good. The Mishnah is saying over here that despite the fact that beneath that we have two Greek signatures. Now, the Greek signatures, because the Rambam learns the simple pshat, because they're written left to right instead of right to left, we'll have the son's name under the left-hand side get and the father's name under the right-hand side get, an inverse of the original. However, they're not connected to that get because the other signatures run underneath both sides. They go all the way from right to left, two Hebrew names. Rashi learns that the Greek signatures are running in the same direction, right to left. Whether that's in written in Greek or it's written in Hebrew and they're Jewish, they're Greek-cultured Hebrews. The entire issue over here is the minhag of the Greeks to write the name, if you would write Reuven ben Yaakov, that would mean, by convention, daddy being Reuven had a ben called Yaakov, me, instead of what it means in Hebrew, which is I am Reuven, the son of Yaakov. So that would mean, the way Rashi is learning it, that what we have over here is an inverted signature in which you have, again, on the right-hand side, the name of the father, on the left-hand side, the name of the child. Okay. Should also be fine. Nonetheless, says the Gemara, et shaheidim arishonim nikra inimo kasher. So the one, the get, that's on the right-hand side, that has the first two edim that can be read as attesting to the above document, that one and only that one is kasher. The one on the bottom, in which the Edom are removed, maybe, we'll see what the problem is, but they're not Nikroi anymore, so the one on the left, in other words, is not kosher. Now, how about if you alternate Edechad Ivri, the Edechad Yevani, Edechad Ivri, the Edechad Yevani, Ba'im itachat ze letachat ze, Shnehem psulim. Now, again, Rashi, because we'll see later on what forces him into this strange position, but Rashi understands you've got your little... Yes, in all of the prints have a variant of the Rashi's diagram of how he understands the Mishnah. So we have Reuven ben Yaakov Eid signed, okay, in the typical way. Now what happens is Yosef the Greek, Ben Shimon, sees that the signature above him was written by convention along the lines of a typical Jewish get. So he says, oh, good heavens, so what do I do now? Because if I sign Yosef ben Shimon, they're going to think that my name is Yosef and my father's name is Shimon, which it's not. My name is Shimon, my father's name is Yosef. So what do I do? So he signs his father's name, Yosef, underneath the Yaakov, right? And then he puts his name on the next beginning of the next line, Ben Shimon, because that means the son, me, Shimon, hello. So I'm signed under Reuven, now that should be fine, right? Okay. So now comes along now Mr. Ivri. He says, boy, this is weird. The guy signed his name starting on the left-hand side and put his father's name. I guess I'll do the same thing. So he signs my name, hello, Kahas. So he signs Kahas, and then he puts his father's name, Ben Levi, on the other side, okay? So comes along now Mr. Yevani the second, and he said, hey, that's interesting. He put his father's names first. I better do the same thing. So he writes Yachzael, who is his father, Ben Naphtali, who is him, hello, me, at the aid at the bottom. But he's got Ben himself, he's got on the left-hand side. So because of this, both Gittim are psulim, and we're going to discuss why exactly, what the problems are, we're going to discuss in the Gemara. A Jewish Greek? You mean that's it? That Americans are already Pasulaidus, Russians are Pasulaidus. Who else is Pasulaidus in your xenophonic madness? Tell me. And they're Jews, very Jews. Exactly. We're just talking about it. They signed in Greek or in the Greek fashion? Yeah. It shouldn't be. It's very clear so far. Come on, Rich. Well, if you'd rather be sailing, we get to that on the base.
Wait.
No, because actually that's how somebody used to sign. I'd rather be sailing. So this will be your approach. I'm serious. Okay. Yeah, we're going to have it again. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. What's the problem? Why can't we simply have the two signatures? You have Reuven Ben Yaakov, right? Okay, so Reuven is signed under the right-hand get. Ben Yaakov is signed under the left-hand get. So both get them have a signature, Mr. Reuven and Mr. Ben Yaakov. What's wrong with that? You could use your name, Ben Yaakov, as your signature. So why don't we have Lit Kasher Hai Be Reuven, V'Hai Be Ben Yaakov 8? But you have handwriting. You know, lots of people that have your name. I mean, that doesn't mean anything. But a signature is your name. It's fine. Or Ben Yaakov is also fine. Dotnan Ben Ish Ploni Eit Kasher. If you write, without even mentioning your own name, you write Ben Ish Ploni Eit, that's fine. That's kosher. No, what happened over here is that he wrote Reuven Ben on the right side. And then he only had Yaakov Eit on the left side. So now we no longer can read it Ben Yaakov Eit. Oh. So why is that a problem? Why don't we view this as having two witnesses? Reuven Ben, and then Mr. Yaakov, 8. Because, I mean, so Tosef says, I mean, what's happening over here is that the guy understands that somebody named Yaakov signs on the left. So he says, well, I'm also Ben Yaakov, so I'll leave it just as is, Reuven Ben, and it's understandable that that's Yaakov. Because anyway, Yaakov is signed on the other side. I mean, would it have to belabor the point? Reuven Ben Yaakov, Yaakov. This is Reuven Ben. She's the Yaakov on the other side, so fine. So why can't we be mitkasher now the get with Mr. Yaakov who's written on the left? I mean, we're not assuming that idiots are doing this here. So we recognize that probably what was meant over here, but why did he put Reuven Ben? So in other words, what we understand is that what we've got is basically two separate signatures. You have Reuven Ben and Yaakov. That's not each ploni eight kasher. If you write Yaakov 8, that's fine. So why wouldn't this be fine? Says the Gemara, because it might be talking about that he didn't write 8. Because if you write Reuven Ben Yaakov without writing the word 8, that would be perfectly okay. You don't need to write 8. As a matter of fact, it seems a little bit pompous. We know what you're doing there on the bottom of that star. You know, you're not sitting there practicing signatures. So what do you have to write 8 for? And we'll see that indeed in Yerushalayim, people said all kind of nonsense. Forms and forms and forms. All legalese. You got a name? Put down your name. What are you writing 8 for? Okay, so it's certainly kosher without writing 8. Since we don't have 8, just the word Yaakov signed under something, not indicating 8, then it wouldn't be kosher. The Lokasav 8. I mean, if it wrote 8, so then Enochinami. Ploni, Ben Ploni is only going to be read as Reuven Ben Yaakov. This is all one person. Yeah, but it's written Yaakov 8. So then we say, oh, probably that's what happened. Reuven Ben Yaakov on the right and Yaakov 8 on the left and Enochinami. That would be okay. Oh, the Tosis is troubled by that. Tosis is indeed troubled by that. He says, L'chora, we're talking. We'll see you. What's the address of the B'Sha'a Tova?
10 o'clock exactly, and 11 is Gabbadah.
10 at 11.
10 at 11.
So at 10 to 11, we meet you.
Unless it's...
All right. It depends whether you're a Yavani or an Ivri. This is not a very good day to give us information in that fashion. Okay, so Tosfos says, do you want an answer to your question or you only want to fight? So Tosfos says, maybe it's talking about in Eretz Yisrael. Because in Eretz Yisrael, over there, you don't usually go after a Chatima, unless there's irony. As we saw before, you don't need to be Mekayim anything. So we're talking about assumptions. In Okinami, if there was Irin, then we'd have to go ahead and we'd have to recognize it. Or maybe indeed it's talking about that we do recognize the signature. And we know perfectly well that it sure ain't Yaakov's. Okay? So Leolam de Kosav Eid, we have Reuven Ben on the right and Yaakov Eid on the left. But we know that this is not Yaakov's signature. So therefore we don't have the option of saying maybe these are two different people. This is one guy who wrote Ruvim Yaakov, eh? Now we're going to not be Mekayim the Chatima of Yaakov as if it says Yaakov, eh?
We know that it's not Yaakov, and therefore by definition it's
Ruvim
one person.
Yeah. I mean, we certainly don't have another eh? Why not? Why can't Ruvim have signed Reuven Ben and then signed as Yaakov, eh? In other words, maybe he signed Dilma B'Shvuda Avua Chatim. Maybe he signed, as a covenant of his father, he used his father's name. Not my own, who am I to sign? But
he wrote Ben Yaakov?
He wrote Yaakov. Ben was on the other side. But to make it clear that what he wants is to count this as a separate signature, so he wrote Yaakov 8.
So he didn't write Reuven?
On the right, he wrote Reuven Ben. Okay, so that's one signature. And on the left, he wrote Yaakov 8.
So he's trying to make himself into two signatures?
What's wrong with that? On two separate documents? He's not signing under himself. He's signing side by side. So he's signing two separate signatures on two separate documents. You mean what the Gemara says? Lo shavik in ishmei v'chatim shma de'avod. That's weird. I mean, people don't drop their own names and only sign with their father's name as a full signature. It's unheard of.
Why can't they sign twice?
He could, but he didn't. Yeah, ain't nothing done. He signed twice, so makes for a very uninteresting Mishnah. Right? I mean, this was another one of these alien Mishnayos. We try to make things interesting. As we're trying to penetrate to the underlying logic of the relationship of signatures to documents, obviously.
The family name means nothing.
The family name is Ben Yaakov. It's the same as a family name. That's a separate question, whether you can use a family name. I mean, that's a confusing issue. The Ramah discusses that's why we avoid using family names because of the complexity of the dinim, whether it would count as an actual name or whether it comes in. Now, we're not sure if you say Ploni, Abi Abramowitz Aid. Is that Abramowitz Aid? Is that Abi Aid? And that's too many issues. Okay. Says the Gemara, maybe he's not signing with his father's name. Maybe he uses his father's name as the family arms.
Right?
Coat
of arms.
A coat of arms. Yeah, but this is the simon for his family. Rothschild. So he's saying Yaakov. That's how I identify myself, right? So Dilma Simona Shavya. After all, Rav would always sign with a fish. I'd rather be fishing. Exactly. Rav Chanina, he always signed with a palm branch. He'd rather be in Tahiti. Rav Chista just wrote a nice samach. Rav Hoshaya wrote an ayin. Rav Baravuna was of Richie's heart, and he was Tzair Makut, and he had a little sailboat with a mast. So he'd rather be sailing. But, I mean, so why can't the person use this, uses his father's name as the sailboat? Because lo chotzi finish l'shavri 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 avu simon. I mean, it's a nice... just to write your father's name. I mean, if you do something fancy with it, then it's chashev. But to write Yaakov, it's a chutzpah.
I think I say this every time the merchant says, but also from the Talmud, Hashem from the Mo always signed with palm branches. Everywhere.
Very nice. Velit kasher, hai bishnei edim ivriim. Velit kasher, hai bishnei edim yivaniim. What exactly is the problem with this get? I don't understand. You have two perfectly good signatures. So why aren't they both going to be kosher? That's not. get shikitavo ivrit veidav yevanit. I mean, it doesn't matter if the get's in Hebrew and the edim are Greek, or the get is written in Greek and the edim are written in the Hebrew. That doesn't matter. I mean, it's completely kosher. I mean, unless the problem is that the two Greek signatures are separated by the two Hebrew signatures, which are underneath the right-hand side document, and therefore they're not up against the document, and the rule is that if there's a break between the document and the witnesses, that then you don't consider the witnesses to be signed on that document. Now, that might be the problem, except there's a reason why it's, in this case, it's not a problem. Because v'chitema, maybe you'll try to tell me the issue over here, is kiven the muflag b'shnei shitim. The rule is once you have a break of two lines, that the signatures are no longer part of the document. And that's why it's possible. But the problem is that Amar Chizkia. Chizkia said, the only time that a line is a break is if it's blank. But if the line is filled, like we do with those machines, or for that matter, you put the name of all your relatives, you know, put in your family tree, but it's filled. So if milu bikrovim, then it's kosher. It's clear who the witnesses are. And in order to make sure, as we do on check sometime, you know, the little check-making machines that just prints something that fills the line in order to make it impossible to play with it. So that's the point. We just want to make it impossible to be played with. So then if milu bikrovim, so then it would be kosher. So there's no problem. After all, says Rashi, relevant to the approaching holiday, after all, says Rashi, if you got schach puzzle, you've got four tvachim. And schach without a hole is just three tvachim, you know. See, there you go. So you see that? I mean, maybe it's counterintuitive, but it seems to work. So you can fill something up with something that's not usable, and that's better than leaving it blank. Rather strange comparison. But in Dinim of Sukkah, I'm sure we'll get back to thinking about why Rashi felt this was a relevant comparison. In any event, so that can't be the issue. Says the Gemara, well, Einachinami. Atani Ziri. Ziri says that Einachinami, Shneam Cherim. Both of the Kittim are kosher for that exact reason. The Tana Didan. So why then is our Tana refusing to accept that? I mean, you haven't given us a good reason. It's not that there's a break, and it's not that we have a problem with the signatures in Greek. So what the heck is the problem? The Tana Didan holds Dilma Gundalit Chatim. V'kulo echad hu dechatini. We are afraid that what you might have done over here is used a gundalit. Gundalit means mishmash. What's a mishmash? What does a mishmash mean? That something that isn't done the way you would normally do it is mishmash. Now, we know that the second case in the Mishnah is definitely a mishmash. I mean, the guy who signed in Greek got confused by the order of the signatures in Hebrew, and he wanted to make sure that the Greek signatures were under the same structure that the Hebrew signature was, but really made a mess of it again. So how do we know that's gundalit? It would be another type of gundalit. But what we're afraid over here is that basically all of the things were signed on one of the gittim. Now, here is where Rashi speaks out what forces him to get into the crazy pshatim that he's been saying. So let us learn the Rashi insight. Dilma kulu, what we're concerned over here, is kulu achad hu dechatimi. So what we're afraid is everybody was written only on the first get. Kulam al rishon. Now look, kol shalokam in agan kori gundalit. Wherever something is signed backwards, that's called, or done shalokam in agan, that's called a gundalit. And I even found, right, b'tshuvat agonim, that a guy who uses a left hand is korin lo b'bekomenu gundalia, because he's doing things differently than the norm. So anything different than the norm is gundalia. And therefore, what we have over here is that it could well be that seeing the way the Hebrew signatures were, what the person signed in Greek was, he reversed the normal order of the Greek, which means that he created the same problem for the left-hand get that we had created for the left-hand get when we were signing Reuven ben Yaakov. Because he reversed his signature also, maybe. In which case, his own name is signed under the right-hand get, maybe, instead of under the left-hand get. In which case, we don't know that we have kosher edim. So now maybe we have four signatures on that get. I don't know. So, b'melu, we can't rely on it. And why do we say eda chadiv rivi, eda chadiv anir, is where it gets a little bit more complicated, is possible. Why don't we simply have two separate gittin, litkasher hai be eda chadiv rivi, eda chadiv anir, V'hai be'edachad ivri ve'edachad yivani. If we have the Hebrew signature and the Greek signature, and then a Hebrew signature and a Greek signature, and we've already said that we don't have a problem with the get. That's not an issue because it's filled in with other signatures. So now what's the problem? I mean, you see that the guy has pushed the signature to the other side to maintain, so you know who the father is, you know who the son is. So why isn't that good? I mean, after all, it says beferish in the Mishnah, Eda chad ivri ve'eda chad yivani kasher. Says, well, you know what? Atani ziri shem chair and hinaki nami. Ziri said about this case, we're both kasher. You're right. And the Tana Didan. The Tana Didan says, look, you don't know who's signing on what over here. Dilma gundalit chatim, and you've got tlata achad vechad echad. You've got three signatures on one get and one signature on the other get, and you don't even know which one is which. Now, here is where Rashi goes into the complexities of the signatures the way he had them. So let's take a look. Perhaps one of them wrote, indeed, Shma Yevani Harishon, Chatam Kiseder HaIvri, Shechatam Lamala Himeno. The guy is looking up. Okay, the signature on top of him says Ruvain Ben Shimon. He knows that that means first comes my name, then comes my father's name. So he sees that, that first Shemot Chila, Ve'achakach Shem Aviv. So in other words, what he signs now, the way I have it, it turns out, Nimsash al Hasheni hu Chatum. Since he continued, and he wrote his name, but he wrote it backwards, he wrote it Gundalit, instead of writing what we thought it means, which is his father's name, under the left-hand side get, and then came around to the other beginning of the line, writing his name under the right-hand side get, which indeed would have given us Eidachad Ivri ve'Eidachad Yivani. Instead, what he did was he put his signature under the left-hand side get, trying to maintain the Hebrew structure when he was signing in Greek, in which case he really signed the left-hand get. So then he writes Shem Aviv, now comes down on the other side. So Nimtzach al Hasheni uchatum. Now, maybe the next guy, who is the second Ivri signature, the Ivri Sheni, he says, he sees that what has happened is that the witness before him signed on the second get, on the left-hand side of the page. So he sees him signed ala Sheni, hu chatun. And then the third guy was Ivri, but he sees the guy before him, shala Sheni chatun. And then maybe the last guy was Chatam Kimin Hago, which would mean that we have three people now signed on the right-hand side get, and only the first guy, Reuven Ben Shimon, he was the only guy that signed on the first get. Or you know what? Maybe the first guy did it normally, and he only changed the placement in order to make it look like the same as the Hebrew. So since it was Reuven Ben Yaakov, where Reuven was the personal name, he wrote Yosef, which was his father's name, Ben Shimon, which was his name, correctly that way, in which case the second, Yavan Sheni, maybe he saw the signature, thought that the guy was trying now to write it in the way that the Jewish writing would be, namely a personal name first. So maybe what he did, it was Chotam Gundalit, Kamo Shara Ivrim Chotmim. So now it turns out that the Shnei HaYivanim and the Ivri HaRishon all end up being signed only on the Rishon in this case. And the only one who signed on the second get is one. Therefore, we have no way of reading this 100% of two Edom on either of these getting. Now, I want you to know nobody likes my shot, says Rashi. Hakol potrino ta b'shita acheret, shekol ha'edim chotmu kol ha'kachmo, v'shem aviv, b'shita achat, b'tachat rishon, l'sheni, kamo shepirashti shnei edim ivrim, v'shnei edim yevanim ha'shnuim, v'shona b'mishnah, which is not that they staggered the signatures the way I have it, and they try to maintain this pshat in the Mishnah with the second part of the Mishnah, so that Reuven ben Shimon is followed by Yosef ben Yaakov, but except that it reverses its meaning, so that Yosef is father, Ben Yaakov is son. That's how they try to make it work out. It doesn't work, I promise you, it doesn't work. I've been breaking my head trying to fit that shot into the Mishnah because, I mean, it's certainly more elegant, but it doesn't work. Umas nisin lo daikach. You'll never get the mitzvah to work like that. Because the imkein lo mashkachat ivri chatum al hasheni. You're saying in the Gemara over here, maybe the second ivri was actually signed on the get hasheni. Can you explain to me how that's possible with this pshat? Ruvein ben Yaakov aid ivri. And now Sholem ben Zerachia aid ivri. How in the world could Sholem ben Zerachia be signed on the second get if he's signing from right to left in the normal position? I don't understand what the Havamin is. Matnitin miflak pagino ivribi yavani lezeh v'ivribi yavani lezeh. You said that we could have it worked out in such a way that you've got one Ivri signature and one Greek signature. Furthermore, I mean, the Gemara says over here, litkasha hai beirachad ivri beirachad yavani v'hai beirachad ivri beirachad yavani alma kol kama de lo amrinan gundalit chatim. What you're trying to say is without the gundalit, this was what you said before we got to the gundalit, right? Before you got to Gundalit, in other words, before you were ready to say that they reversed the order of their signatures, you were ready to say that we would have a surname and a proper name under each get, and that would be kosher. That's mad. Why would it be kosher? If you're agreeing that the Yevani was written normally, so then you have the father's name, not the son's name. So you have one son and one father on one get, and one son and one father on another get. How in the world is that supposed to be kosher before you started thinking about Gundalit? The way I have it, at least it makes sense. The guy saw what was going on, wanted to put his own name under the first get. So therefore, he put his father's name on the left-hand side to make it clear that even though the minhag is to write the father's name first, and I did that, but I wrote it at the end of the line so I could put my personal name, which was Ben so-and-so, that's how you say the Ben, Junior. In other words, the way we'd write in English, Junior, is Ben. So I wrote that on the beginning of the second line, which was really the third line, but that doesn't matter. So then it makes sense the way I'm saying it. You have two sons signed under the right-hand side. And then you can understand without Gundalit how you would have two sons signed on the left-hand side. The way that Rashi has it. Look again at his diagram. That's how each one adjusted it to fit into the situation that had been created by the previous signature. Brilliant. That's without Gundalit. So if you would look at it normally, the way I have it, says Rashi, this makes perfectly good sense. So what you have over here, therefore, is only going to work out the way I have it, that the Gundalit is what ruins it, not the Gundalit is what makes it happen. And that's clear from the Gemara. That what I'm saying is, look, if we're sure that they mean what they wrote, then Enoch and Ami both are kosher, the way Zahiri says it. What about Artana? Artana says, look, maybe the guy is confused. Maybe he's trying to make it graphically work, but isn't changing the intent of who father is and who son is. I don't know. Or maybe he really is trying to change it, that he's putting his own name first. So therefore, we may not have two signatures on one get and two, we may have three in one. So therefore, I don't know, but I can't see how it could possibly work out, says Rashi, if it means to do it the way we explained it in the Reisha, in which everybody just writes the way they normally write. Well, this is a rather complex stuff. Shall we leave our Mishnah, or shall we do the Mishnah and then review it again? Or? Yes, it will be easier. Okay, so then perhaps let's leave this, being as it's long, and we'll just do our wonderful review. Shnayim shesholchu shnei getim shavim v'nitarvu noten shneim lezo v'shneim lezo lefichach avad achad miyem hari hasheni batel chamisha shekatvu klal b'toch haget ish ploni megayish ploni v'ploni megayish ploni v'aydim elamata kulam ksherim. Then only at Sheidim Nikrinimo is kosher. Mantan Omer Biyam, well, it's got to be the local Rabbi Elazar. Given the Omer Edim Isira Karte, and over here the witnesses do not witness a particular get that was Nimsar. So how could it be law? So Halo Yadav Amin Ayokam Agarisha. Says Abaya, so who cares? Hafilu Temer Rabbi Elazar. Eimer Abay Rabbi Elazar, Ktiva Lishma. Netina Lishma Biboy, that he has to be able to identify the get. He knows for a fact that this woman got a get kosher. One of these two was kosher. Why would he have to say which one? Chamisha Shekitavo Klal. So, Echidami Klal, Echidami Tofis. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, well, if it's a Zman Echad Kulam, then by definition that makes one document, Zer Klal. Zman Lekol Echad Viachad Zer Tofis. Rishloki Shomar. Afilu zman ech lekulam nami habitofes. Ela ech idomi klau. De katav anu ploni u ploni girash nishotenu ploni tu ploni. Mat kiflo rebabal rebi yochanan di omer zman ech lekulam. is called Klal Lechus Dilma Kichat Musari Abatu Dechatimi Milotanya, even in a case where Eidu were Chatumim on regards to my ex, Sheilat Shalom, that's enough to pass the get. Chashinet Shabal Sheilat Shalom Chatmu. If he wrote Sha'alu Shalom, then ain't a Chinami possible. But if you throw in a Vav, Vishalu, it's kosher. So Chinami Dechtibe Ploni, Uploni, Uploni, and therefore we view it all as one document. Vitu. L'Rav Yochanan D'Omer Zman, the Kolech of the Yachadzeo Toface, forget about the problem being the Toface. If you're writing a separate date for each one, typically Davili Nichtab B'Yom V'Nechtam B'Layel, and the only one that's kosher is the one that the signature was on the same day as the date. Omnei Markishisha Rav Chista, L'Rav Ashi, Yochanan B'Shmei Rav Yochanan. The dates are all the same. Dechtibu B'Chad B'Shabbat, V'Chad B'Shabbat, and so on. Omnei Ravina L'Rav Ashi, and according to Rish Lakish, Gavar Zman Echad L'Kulam, is also considered to be Toface. And the only case, I would say, klal, academic klal, because of Be'achi, onu, ploni, ploni, grashu, shotenu, ploni, to ploni. I mean, that's shtei nashim, and it's kashot beget echad. Atoram rabbe katav lav, alov alav akavrata, and over here there's only one plural get. No, there's not one plural get, there's one plural preamble. But hada katav, ploni, girish, ploni, ploni, girish, ploni, of course. Omer l'rivino l'ravashi. Why do we need all of this? And that's the same din as get isha. Because over there, lavu kimna b'shnei shtarot, tanik avasur Rabbi Yochanan, and tanik avasur Rish Lakish. Tanik avasur Rabbi Yochanan, hamishah shekatvu b'toch haget, ish ploni megarish ploni to ploni, ploni to ploni, ploni to zman echad kulam, v'edim elamata kulam k'sherim v'tinatein l'kol achat v'achat. But zman l'kol achat v'achat v'edim elamata, then only a chegim nekrinimo is kosher. Rabbi Yirum and Betera Omer, no, zman itself isn't mechalek. It's only if there's also a blank line and there's a revach b'nei'en, then it's possible. V'imlav kosher she'en zman mafsikan. Tanik avazir Rish Lakish, chamishah shekatvu klal betoch haget, onu, ploni uploni, girash nushotenu, ploni to ploni, then followed by the separate ploni girish, ploni, ploni girish, ploni, and so on. V'zman echad v'kulam v'edim elamatan. So then you have a klal, and kulam ksherim, v'tinaten l'kol echad v'yachad. But if you had a zman l'kol echad v'yachad, revach l'kol echad v'yachad v'edim elamata, then only a chaydim nikrinim o'kasher, and Rabbi Meir om rafa pishen revach b'nei pasuk, because zman alone is mafsikatan. How is this for Shlokish? L'shlokish, ma'er zman l'kol echad v'yachad, omer zman echad l'kulam, even that would have still been a toface. It would only have been a tofes if it was hechle. The difference over here is hechle lo arvinu mi'kora. So with our preamble, so the arvinu mi'kora, the only thing that would then separate it is the polik luzman, but ilolo. Shnei gitim shekitavam ze betzad ze. Shnei meidim ivrim boim mitachat ze latachat ze. Vishnei meidim yavonim boim mitachat ze latachat ze. Et shaydim arishonim nikra inimo kasher. Eid achad ivri ve'eid achad yavani, eid achad ivri ve'eid achad yavani. Ba'im mitachat zeh latachat zeh, then shneihem pesulim. V'litkasher hai b'ruvein v'hai b'ben Yaakov eid, that's not ben ish ploni eid is kosher. No, the cause of Ruvein ben akama, v'Yaakov eid abatra. So, litkasher hai b'ruvein ben, and litkasher hai b'Yaakov eid, that's not ish ploni eid is sufficient, it's kosher. Adolo katab eid. V'bait ima la'olam de katab eid. But the Adinan, the Ha, Khatima, the Lav Yaakov, so it's obviously not a separate signature. So maybe it's his signature, Bishma de Avua Khatim. Because Lo Shavakini, Shmeva Khatim Bishma de Avua. Well, why not? Maybe it's like the family coat of arms. The Dilma Simona Shavia. The Rav Tzir Kavra, Rav Chanina Karuta, Rav Chista Samar, Rav Oshaya Ain, Rav Baravun Etzair Makuta. Lo Khatif Inish just to use the Shavi Shma de Avua Simona. So, v'litkasher hai b'shnei edim ivrim, v'litkasher hai b'shnei edim yevanim. Ditzan getsh ketavo ivrit ve'edav yevanit, or yevanit ve'edav ivrit, kasher. V'chitei makiva demuflag b'shnei shitim lo. But, ha'amachiske malu b'krovim kasher, and over here you were malu with the edim for the other get. What's the difference? Now, Tani's hearing, indeed, shneim ksherim. So why does Tani Didan hold not like that? Because he's chayshish dilma gundalit chatim, v'kulo achadu dechatimi. Eid achad ivri ve'eid achad yevani, so lit kasher, hai be'eid achad ivri ve'eid achad yevani, v'hai be'eid achad ivri ve'eid achad yevani. That's not an eid achad ivri ve'eid achad yevani kasher. And yo, you're right. Atani ziri shneim kshem. Okay, but how about tani didan? Tani didan is choishish dilma gundalit chatim, and therefore you would have tlata achad v'chad achad in either direction, and therefore neither of them are reliable.